precious promise. Well, let's begin a new chapter today, Proverbs chapter 26. My, we've been in Proverbs many weeks, and just pulling out wisdom. You know, we spend a lot of time in Proverbs as we're, you know, walking through the Bible, but I think it's important to stop and really look at the book of Proverbs, importantly, because it instructs us in wisdom. And the key to understanding a lot of things in our life is having wisdom. Wisdom is what helps us understand the things in life and understand the things that we don't really understand. Because you know what? Our minds are limited. Our minds are limited. We're human. But God's mind is infinite. He always knows everything. And so that's why we can trust in Him and put our faith in Him. Well, let's begin. Proverbs 26 here, verse 1 in our Bibles. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Now, let me just say something about verse 3. In verse 3, there is a modern-day curse word in the Bible. But I want you to understand, in the Bible day when the Bible was written, it was just a verse that described, a word that described a donkey. And it was not used as a curse word in the Bible day. And so it's in our Bibles as a word to understand. Amen? And so don't think the Bible, somebody wrote a curse word in there or something like that, because it's not like that. Okay, verse number 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion as is in the street. As the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Let's pray this morning, then we'll look at this passage. Father, we thank you for your goodness today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the privilege to open the Bible this morning, that we can handle it, we can have it in our hearts, our minds, that, Lord, it can affect us. We thank you for the influence of the Bible in our own personal hearts. And, Lord, we just pray that you'd teach us the truths that are in this passage. Help us, we ask, to rightly divide the word of truth, that it may meet every need and be a blessing and a help to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I've got to kind of compete with this classroom over here. So y'all help me out, okay? So anyhow, he turned me up, I noticed, a little bit. All right. Now, by the way, that's another good reason we need a new church building. Amen. And that way we can kind of keep a quiet section over there, all right? But we're thankful for what God's given us, amen, and praise the Lord for it. Wisdom. I think a lot of what we've been teaching is about incorporating wisdom into our own life, realizing how valuable wisdom is in our decisions and in the choices that we make. And knowing that real wisdom can only come from one source. It can only come from God. And that source means that he, because he is God, he can give us that wisdom that we need in our lives to function. And the Bible teaches that wisdom is the principal thing. And what it's talking about is it's saying that wisdom is the most important thing. It's a priority thing because it watersheds all of the things in our life. Kind of picture a roof on a house. It's kind of like a roof on a house. Let's build a house, but let's not put a roof on it. Well, everything within that house will be affected adversely because there's no roof on that house, right? I mean, you can sit in your recliner with no roof and watch the ball game if you want, you know? But when it starts raining, you got a problem. Amen? And so when I say wisdom is a principal thing, it means that everything in our life can be affected adversely if we do not have wisdom as a watershed in our life. And so God is teaching us here, and previous to this, we've been incorporating wisdom into our life, and we've been comparing how God talks about a wise man and a fool. And the Bible defines things about a fool, and the Bible defines things about a wise man. And can I tell you, it ought to be a passion in every Christian's heart to not follow the way of a fool. And how do we know that? We know it because of what the Bible describes of a fool. And, you know, we do live in a day and age when we see both wisdom and foolishness in our world today. And all you got to do is go to politics, and you can talk foolishness all day long. But we're not going to go there right now, amen? Because anyhow, so we're going to look at wisdom. Now, Proverbs chapter 26 takes a little bit of a diversion. And it is not just teaching us about wisdom. It is teaching you and I how to, as a Christian, deal with fools and foolishness. It is giving us principles on dealing with foolishness in our life, for example, others' foolishness. We are all affected by the foolishness of others. We are. Unfortunately, it's true. Can you imagine? By the way, that's one reason why heaven's going to be so good. There's not going to be no foolishness there. Amen? Our God will be in control, and what is wrong will be made right in heaven. Praise the Lord. Until then, we as a Christian have to act in wise accordance. Now, how many of you have ever been driving down the road and you're doing just fine, and all of a sudden somebody in a Ford cuts you off? Anybody, has that happened to you? And you know what? Isn't it easy just like that to lose your Christianity? I didn't get many amens on that. Isn't it easy? I mean, this is where we live, right? This is where the rubber meets the road. You know, I could give you a bunch of high, lofty stuff this morning, but that won't help you when you're driving down I-35 this week. Amen? But somebody does that to you? Or have you ever been treated wrongly? Doesn't it affect us when we're treated wrongly to return how somebody treats us to them? Don't we want to send them the same message? We're all human, aren't we? But see, God's ways are different than man's ways. And God's ways are profitable. And we have to really believe that God's ways are profitable, or else we won't allow them to penetrate our mind. And we have to believe that God's ways are effective in good in our own personal lives. And so far we've seen a lot of wisdom forming us, but there also needs to be wisdom in dealing with foolishness or foolish people in our lives. Now, when we talk about foolishness, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about folly, as Proverbs talks about folly. And that is a mind to just do sin just because it's fun, just because it's convenient. There's no respect for God. There's no understanding that God is the overseer of this universe. We're living in a time when there's so little respect for God. You know, I grew up in a time when I'm not that old, so don't put me there yet, okay? But I grew up in a time when there was respect for preachers and churches and God's house. And you know, you just had that social respect was permeated in society. And now, I'll tell you what, something has changed and it happened to where, you know, some would just soon spit on somebody. I could tell you example of example of how things happen. And I was here one day, man came in the church, and he looked at me real gruff and real mean. He said, "I want some money." That's what he said. I said, "I do too." No, I didn't say that, okay? He said, "I want some money." And I said, "Sir, I apologize, but at this time we're just not able to help you." He cussed at me and walked out the door. If he thinks he's getting anything from me now, he's in bad shape. But you know what? There was this ugly green monster that welled up inside of me that kind of lost sight of his Christianity for a moment. You know, I think in our lives, even though we're human, the more wisdom we implement into our heart and our mind, the better off we can avoid that green monster, that ugly monster that wells up in all of us. Because God tells us he's there, amen? And so we want to please God with our life and live for him. So let's look at how we deal with foolishness in our life. Bible tells us a fool rejects God. He does not place him as an authority in their life. He obfuscates his heart from answering to an almighty God. And this is foolishness. Because the scripture teaches us, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Boy, aren't some people going to wake up one day and look into the eyes of an almighty God and say, "Oh, I thought you weren't even there." You know, I think God's hardwired all of us to at least sense and know, even the lost man, to at least sense and know there has to be a God. We have a conscience. And what is it that makes us know difference between right and wrong? And there has to be a God in this universe. But a fool rejects his conscience and rejects these principles because he desires just to do whatever he wants to do. And God's getting in his way. And you know, this is not the mentality by which a Christian ought to live. But the point of the passage is that we live in a world, we live in a place where we deal with this kind of foolishness. And so God gives us principles on how to handle it. Amen? So let's look at some of these principles. Okay, let's look at verse number 1. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Now I wrote this down about this verse. It is not good to honor a fool or foolishness. It's not good to honor a fool or foolishness. We live in a time when we're honoring a lot of foolishness. But what we should be honoring is honorable things and honorable people. Godly mothers we should be honoring. Amen? Amen? Godly mothers, faithful fathers, soldiers who give their life for our country, who sacrifice their own convenience so that you and I can just go buy groceries and have the freedom to live. Right. Honor in those cases where we ought to place it. And we're drifting into a place where we don't honor that anymore, but we find, you know, this, and I'm going to be honest with you, this transgender agenda is foolishness. and it ought not to be honored. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, you don't understand. Hey, I understand one thing. If you're a man, God made you to be a man. If you're a woman, God made you to be a woman. Get over it and embrace it. Amen? The schools today, a girl, I've told this illustration before, but I want to hear it again. The schools are honoring a girl who identifies herself as a cat. And the school has to place a litter box in the girl's restroom so that that girl can identify as a cat. Can I give you one word for that? Foolishness. It's foolishness. You say, should you be so bold? Well, obviously somebody out there isn't being bold. And you know, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. And if truth is not proclaimed in our churches today, then it certainly isn't going to be proclaimed in our media and in our world today. And I'm not trying to get off on a political thing, but I'll tell you what, it used to be a whole different mentality in our world toward foolishness. And so, suffice it to say, this principle here in Proverbs is, don't honor foolishness. Don't lift it up. When you lift up and you honor the wrong things, what you're doing is you are giving a stamp of approval on wrong behavior. And you are saying that that behavior is acceptable. And what you're actually doing is you're twisting someone's mind into thinking wrong is right. And isn't that cruel? That's a cruel thing if you think about it. Is when you twist somebody's mind. But this is the effect of foolishness. And so God says, don't honor it. Don't honor it. You know, honor good behavior. Honor good things. Honor good people who do things. Honor people who sacrifice of themselves for others. You know, I thank God for mothers. Mothers are incredible. Amen. And they're a little bit mean too. Amen? I thank God for mothers. Because mothers are the most sacrificial people I know on this earth. Mothers are just amazing. They would do anything for those children. And they would stay up all night with the sick child while us men were sound asleep somewhere. Amen? Mothers are incredible. That's who we ought to honor. People who give themselves and sacrifice to others. And so be careful in your home who you honor. Amen? Because it will affect behavior. Whom we honor affects behavior, either for the good or for the bad. And so I think that's the principle that we're finding here. All right, let's go on. Verse number 3. Notice verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Now, I wrote this down about this verse. Foolish ways need correction or they will infect a good heart. Foolish ways need correction or they will infect a good heart. You know, parents, as you raise your kid and your children, you have to be careful to correct things. Right? We can't just obfuscate teaching in the home. You know, it's easy to just put them in front of the television. But, you know, what is that television teaching them? It's easy to kind of step back and say, oh. But you know what? I think it's so important to take life's lessons and the things that go on in life and teach our kids principles as we walk through life. You know, Tuesday, some situation will arise in your life. And, you know, it's an opportunity to instruct your child. Hey, you know, on Tuesday, this happened today. You know what God would want us to do? God would want us to do this in accordance to his word and honor the Lord. And because we see too much foolishness promoted in our world, that infects their mind. We ought to at least combat that with correction. Now, correction is not a bad thing. Just nobody does it anymore. Correction is not a bad thing at all. Correction is forming a mind in a true and good way. It's not brainwashing. You know, the world says that the church brainwashes kids when they're out there with purple hair, 32 earrings, 500 piercings, and hating God. Hey, correction combats the influence of foolishness. Correction is saying, son, we don't want to do that. We don't want to be like that. We're going to serve the Lord. Amen? It's not wrong to correct your child. Amen? It's important to correct those children. And that's more than just discipline. It's training the mind. Training the mind on what's good and what's right. Because, you know, they don't get a lot of it in our world today. It used to be society would be putting a lot of good things in it. But it's changed. And we as parents have to get back to that understanding. Let's put good things into our children. Let's teach them to be unselfish. Let's teach them to be faithful, kind, honest, loving, full of integrity, dedicated to their husbands, their wives. Let's teach them these things. Amen? So that their mind is formed and their life is formed in good ways. So foolish ways here need correction or they will infect a good heart. All right, now let's look at verses 4 and 5. All right, now notice verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. All right, now right there is where Bible critics like to call it a contradiction in the Bible. Because you have two verses back to back that seem to say the complete opposite thing. Ah, that's where wisdom enters in. Wisdom teaches us what this is saying. And let's look at what it's saying here. Verse number 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Now, notice there are times when a fool spews out foolishness, and the best way to answer it is to walk away. Don't even give him an answer. And I think there are specific times when we should not give an answer. And we have to know when those times are. And that's when wisdom comes into our mind. I'm a pastor. I've had people approach me very contentious before and very angry. Sometimes they're not asking a question to want to know something. They're wanting to fight or argue. You know, when somebody wants to fight and argue, see you later. Amen. In other words, wisdom does not give credence to that kind of thing. Wisdom denotes it as foolishness because it's not even important to spend time on. A word need not even be spoken for certain things that are just downright foolish. A man asked me a question one time. He said, can God make a rock so big that he cannot move it? You know what the answer to that? There's an answer to that. No. The answer is yes, he can, because he can do all things. And then he'll move it. Amen. God can do both. Amen. I can see your wheels turning. Amen. You see the wheels turning. Okay, so what he's saying is there are times when we need to know when not to speak. And wisdom teaches us there's times when we need not speak. And it's referring to dealing with others who portray foolishness. And it's not being critical of people. It's saying that sometimes a fool needs to know that his foolishness doesn't even deserve an answer. And that's not unkind, and that's not being critical. It enables the fool to see that his question or his attitude or spirit in that really was foolish. And so he says, answer not a fool in a time like that. Okay, now look at the next verse. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Okay, now here's a guy thinks, you know, he knows it all. He's wise in his own conceit. And sometimes he needs a word spoken to him to bring him down to a right understanding of things, you know? I think Jesus was doing this to the Pharisees in the New Testament. When the Pharisees would come to him with foolish questions, you know, Jesus would answer them wisely, and after that, they spoke not a word. So the answer to this contradiction in verses 4 and 5 is to know when to speak the word and when to be silent. And it depends on the situation. You know, I don't think anybody deals with this more difficultly than the soul winner. Because the soul winner goes out, knocks on doors, you never know what kind of mentality of somebody that you're talking to about the Lord. You don't know what's in their mind. I've had all kinds of things thrown at me. Out just talking to people about the Lord, trying to encourage them to be saved. And when you're talking, we need that wisdom to know what to say, how to say it, and when to say it when we're talking to people. And, you know, some people have legitimate questions about the Bible. They're not just being contentious. And then you get the other side. Some are just being contentious. And you have to answer not according to the folly or the foolishness. And so wisdom is, these verses do not contradict. They are taken in the correct context at which it's given. Did you know that every answer in life is about the context in which it's given? Now let that settle in for just a moment. Every answer in life is about the context at which it's given. I'll tell you a story. Funny story, a young boy was on his first date with a girl. And he asked his dad for advice. He said, "Dad, I want to know what to say to this girl." And he was all nervous, you know, and his palms were sweaty. And, "Dad, what do I say to this girl?" And he said, "Say, give her this statement. Say, looking at you makes time stand still." He said, "Okay. Okay, looking at you makes time stand still." So he gets on this date, and they're having a good time. And all of a sudden, he remembers his dad said, "Say this to her, son." And he couldn't quite remember what his dad told her. But he got the gist of it, and he said, "You have a face that could stop a clock." Didn't go over too well, did it? And you see, that's a ridiculous kind of illustration. But it kind of illustrates in life the value of wisdom in what we say and how we say it, when we say it. And I think God can give us wisdom in our life. You know, we run across people that are hurting. And, you know, it's important to know what to say or what not to say. And God is our helper with that. The Word of God is our helper with that. You know, sometimes people are hurting so bad that not a word is even good to say. Just letting them know you love them and appreciate them. Just say, "I'm here for you." That can be some of the most valuable things in life. So Scripture here is not contradicting itself. It's teaching us that wisdom enables us to know the appropriate time and the appropriate way in which we say things. And especially also to people who, in the context of the passage, are foolish. And it teaches us how to handle them as a Christian and as God's people. Because remember something, as a Christian, isn't our ultimate goal as a Christian to glorify God in our life, in our body? That's the ultimate goal. And sure, we fail. We fail sometimes. But if we keep that goal in mind, then we will also lodge wisdom in our mind and ask God for the help when we need it, as we need it to speak. All right. Are you still with me? All right, let's go on. Verse number 7. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. Now, look at the last half of the verse. A parable. Now, what's a parable? Jesus used parables, didn't he? What's a parable? Parable is an earthly story to teach a heavenly truth. So Jesus got down to our level, and he told us stories. You know, the sower and the seed. The virgins and their lambs. The lost coin. Jesus uses parables because we can grasp them as humans. And he got down on our level. Okay. And that parable is to teach us something. So now let's picture a foolish person giving us a parable. And you're looking at them knowing they're a fool, and it's like, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's like, you're actually saying that? You don't follow that, you're a fool. And the other illustration in the verse is like, the legs of the lame are not equal. One leg's shorter than the other, it's just not right, is it? There's something strange about it. And so I think here is the point of the passage of the scripture. The passage of the scripture is teaching us to understand that we need wisdom in what we listen to. And again, it's about a fool who's telling you a parable. And so I think when we're listening, we have to listen with Holy Spirit discernment in our life. We have to listen and say, God, help me. Help me to understand this in accordance to your word and your will. It's about being objective to God's word and his principles in everything we do in our mind and in our life. Because therein is so many blessings. And so God's teaching us there's a wisdom in what we hear, what we listen to. You know, sometimes I hear foolish things. I heard Oprah one time say this. She said, there are many ways to God. Your way is your way, and their way is their way, and his way is their way. You have a way to God. They have a way to God. It's all of God. But she's forgetting that the same God she's talking about, defined in Scripture, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we have to hear things going on with spiritual discernment in our minds, thinking that's not right. That's not true according to Scripture. Hey, if we could get to heaven our own way, you know what Jesus said? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God said, you can't get to heaven your own way. You can't work your way to heaven. Because all have sinned, and God can't allow sin into heaven. If God allowed sin into heaven, heaven would be as dirty as this earth is. Right? So he can't allow sin into heaven. I can't get there my way, because I'd be carrying sin into heaven. And so we have to be spiritually discerning in what we hear in this world to see if it G's and haws. That's an old term I haven't heard in a while. To see if it G and haws with God's word and the truth of God's word. And so, great principle here. Be discerning in what you hear. And you know what I believe? When you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside of you. And The Bible tells us he is our guide into all truth. And he's a discerner in the thoughts of our heart. And so we can trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in this world as we hear things that just do not make sense and are not right in according to God's way. Okay. All right, let's move on here. Wish I had time for more of them. I really want to get to verse 10. This is a blessing. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. Now, I got to thinking, this verse is prefaced, this principle is prefaced by saying, the great God that formed all things. So it's giving us this picture here. All right, God is the creator. He's the form of all things. He made everything, didn't he? God made it all. God made it all. Now that same God who knows all, he rewards the fool. Now the Bible uses the word reward. And the reason it uses the word reward is because it's something that is given. Something that is actually like delivered or given to the fool. God who formed man. Think of this. He formed man and he formed us to know God. He hardwired us to have a knowledge that there is a God. And when a fool rejects God, he's going actually against his conscience, his understanding that there is a God. And usually a fool does this because he wants to do what he wants to do in life and he doesn't want God to get in the way. And this is where the foolishness lies, is thinking, we'll get by with that. You know, I got news for you. A fool will not get by with anything. Because God formed that man. God knows that person. God knows all about his mind and his heart. God's got it down. You know, he's the designer. It's like your watch. You know, your watch. If you have a watch and that watch breaks on you, you're going to take it and bring it to the designer to have it fixed. You know, it's the same with God's word in our life. When we get broken, God's the only one that can fix us because he's the great God that formed all things. I'm glad about that. Amen. He knows me better than I know me. Think of that for a moment. And so we need to have that understanding. The great God formed thee. And the point of the passage is that foolishness will ultimately be rewarded. And it's not talking about a good reward. It's talking about something that is given by God who formed all things for respect or foolish respect of their foolishness. Hey, I want to tell you something. Put it in a nutshell. God's going to judge everything one day, and he's going to judge it all rightly. Amen? And God will get it right. Amen. On that day. So we just got to keep serving the Lord and living for the Lord and pleasing him. Amen? That great God that formed us. Isn't that amazing? You know, I have to laugh at evolution. I really do. Because you look at all the intricacy of the human body. The heart, the lungs, the blood, the eyes, the hands, the brain. How it all works together to form a coherent whole. And that all happened because we popped out of the bowl of primordial soup one day. There's no, I'm going to tell you something. There is order and design in nature because we have a great God who formed it all. Amen. Amen. God formed this world. He put the stars in the place and hung them on nothing. And he sustains it all. And you say, oh, you're brainwashed. Oh, really? I'd rather be brainwashed that way than to believe I popped out of a primordial bowl of soup. You know? But the truth is, we give credit to the great God who formed us and designed us and made us. And you know, God rewards the just and the unjust someday. That's why I want to be on God's side. I want to live for him and please him. And you know what? There are times when we all fail God. And when we fail God, you know what we ought to do? Confess it, make it right to God, and just keep on going and serving God. Amen? And just trust in that great God that formed us. Well, we're going to stop right there today, okay? We'll pick up here next week in the book of Proverbs, and hope it's a blessing to you. Hope you're getting some truths that can really help us in life. Father, we